Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Chickies in South Philly is where we are. Brandon Graham Show coming up at 6 here at Chickies. Players Lounge at 7. Joining us now, as he does Mondays or after games at 4 o'clock, Donovan McNabb. Donovan's calls brought to you by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Tire and Service. Go to UnitedTire.com. That's UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Donovan, another win.
I mean, that's what it's all about. It's
that is.
It's not about anything else. It's not about stats. It's not about, you know, what we could have done on third down or whatever. We did what we needed to do to win the game. That's the most important thing.
So one thing that I know you must be happy about, given what you've said over the weeks, is the last 2 weeks – the ability to get Dallas Goedert the ball. I know you've been really encouraging them to go to the tight end, and Goedert has really made plays every time he's gotten the ball the last couple of weeks.
Well, this is the thing, and you know, kind of watching Kellen Moore, knowing Kellen Moore's offense and his resume, it's about the intermediate passing game. It's about involving your tight ends and running backs. But my thing in the beginning of the season, remember, I talked about what is our identity, and our identity has to start with 26, isn't it? When you start with Saquon, then it opens up the opportunity to be able to get downfield in a play-action game. Now, the thing that Kellen Moore hasn't had is he hasn't had a running back that can be able to tote the ball 25 to 30 times a game and involve him in the passing game. He's had either one or the other, and he really hasn't had the running attack that he has now with the offensive line as well as Saquon. Because when he was in Dallas, you know, he had smaller running backs after they got rid of pretty much Zeke. So I just think for what we've seen, it's been a progression on offense, and we're at a point right now where the momentum is leading in our direction because we have the running attack and a little bit of play action. But the thing that we have to continue to evolve is we have to evolve a little bit more of the downfield passing attack to soften up the cover.
I want to stay locked in on Saquon for one more question, Five. When you're looking at him and having a player like that, right, that you can hand the ball off to, and he has the ability to go to the house on any play, what's that like for a quarterback? What's that like for the offense to have that type of explosive weapon?
Well, the thing is, you know, I've had the opportunity to play with three of the probably the best three running backs, really four, added Deuce into the mix. I played with three of the probably best running backs of what they've done, and that's LeSean McCoy, Brian Westbrook, and in Minnesota playing with Adrian Peterson. And what that does is now as an offensive coordinator, you have to be able to utilize that part of the game and add it to separate, you know, to get your guys involved. And so what's next? You have to be able to control the middle of the football field. So you have to have a tight end that linebackers now, when they see ball and play action, now they commit, you can go right over the top. And so now what do? You put a single high safety, go either zone or man on the outside. Then you have to have a prize receiver that can beat any coverage that he may be faced with one-on-one. And so we have those particular levels, but if we don't utilize them in that order, then now we're just trying to just drop back, throw, drop back, throw, drop back. And it's not going to work out consistently in our favor. So Saquon has been a guy that Jalen can definitely lean on. And not only that, but Coach Stoutland. We need to give credit to Coach Stoutland and what he's been able to do with this offensive line with having a guy like Saquon to give him those opportunities for those big runs.
Donovan, throwing the ball in snow like it was yesterday, like what kind of a challenge is that from grip to footing to all of those things?
Well, I mean, with snow, I mean, you have to add in the elements as far as how cold is it? because that ball could be a brick. And so, you know, with Jalen, you know, having pretty much big hands, him being able to hold on to the football helps out in any way possible. But again, when you play in late January and February, we're talking about you got to have a run game. If you have a run game now, you don't have to throw the ball 35 maybe 40 times. You can throw the ball, you know, between 20 and 28 times, and if you're running the football 30 times, however, if it's a running back, if it's your quarterback, whatever it may be, now you're having a balanced attack, and it keeps you on the field while the clock is moving. And that's exactly what happened with us in the game against the Reds.
Donovan, what do you think about the just a drill down on a couple of play calls, because you mentioned Kellen Moore. One was that toward the end of the game, I think it was second and six, and they ran that bootleg where when Jalen got sacked. And then the play that the safety happened on, where they called a pass there. You know, positives and negatives to passing the ball in those situations, and what did you think of their decision to do that?
Well, I think what Kellen was expecting, definitely for the safety, he was expecting probably man coverage, where, you know, we can kind of get the ball to our outside quickly to our guys, if not hit the check down with Saquon, and it didn't happen. We got beat. We weren't able to step up in the pocket, which led to a safety. And I think for the bootleg, same thing. We have been running the ball effectively with Saquon. Now you think if we show a little run, get linebackers and ends to commit, now we can get on the outside of the corner to be able to get the ball to at least our check first read via our tight end and our second level guy, probably be our crosser, or our third read, which is probably a comeback to the outside. I can't recall the pattern or the combination that we had, but usually you have your safety blanket in the flat. And what they did was, I believe at that particular time, the D tackle went wide, and he bumped our tight end, which led to the end taking the tight end, and now he was already wide waiting on Jalen, and then that led to the sack. So you got to give credit to defense that you play, because, hey, they get paid as well, too. But, you know, we could have done a little bit differently, yes, but I think what it did was now put it in a position where defensive coordinators have to figure out what's next. And it went in our face.
Man, Jalen took a nasty sack, and his leg got caught up under him. I was honestly pleasantly surprised that it wasn't more severe than what it was. He was able to come back in the game. I don't know how much adrenaline had to do with that, but he didn't seem as mobile throughout the rest of the game. Moving forward, how do you think that impacts his play for next week? Do you think that's, I know you're not a doctor, you didn't examine him, but how do you think that impacts him if he's not as mobile next week?
Well, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express, so
yeah, I figured you would go there. Yeah.
I mean, the way you asked me, you know, you act like I got scrubs on, and you know, doubtful.
Hey, come on, man. Hey, listen, you know you're. Hey, listen, you're a Four Seasons guy. You ain't no Holiday Inn Express, man. You're a Four Seasons guy, man. Come on.
Depending on the situation, you know me, I'm gonna say, buddy. But you know what, the whole thing about it, it was a little bit of adrenaline. And then when you get in those situations as a quarterback, when you're not kind of restricting yourself, and so you're not holding back, he kind of went with it, which helped. And the best thing was his leg popped out. It kind of came out of the whole thing. And so you're not stuck in that position. I think he will be sore this week. How much can we get from him as far as mobility is concerned? I think he'll be a little bit more mobile than we expect, but it still won't be at 100%, and no one's at 100% at this particular point in the season. But I will say this, that was a penalty. We talked so much as far as the tackling, where linebackers or DNs are starting to drop.
The hip drop, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and that's a penalty. I mean, especially from what we've seen in that Kansas City game, where everything looked like it was a penalty on Patrick. You know, we're talking, and then all of a sudden, all the refs explanation for it, because I've been in the situation. Oh, I thought you were running. That ain't got nothing to do with me holding the ball behind the tackle. And so, I think that was a penalty and something they need to look into definitely this offseason.
Donovan, we have Jaden Daniels and the Commanders coming in here on Sunday. Jaden Daniels is playing like the
best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say anything else. He looks incredible.
Right.
What is the game plan for somebody like him, like if there is one? How do they attack Jaden Daniels?
Mush rush. I think what you're going to start to see, tackles and ends staying in their lane and not getting beat and contained. outside. And what do you do? That means now it puts pressure on your secondary. And obviously with one of our best young corners going out with injury, we like to see what happens with him. And will he be back healthy to be able to play? We definitely need that. But I think you have to go into the mush rush where everyone is now pushing and pulling and being in their lane. Anyone kind of get out of their lanes leaves a running lane for him. But with saying that, we got to understand that he's not just a runner. He's delivering the ball from the pocket.
Yes, sir.
And so we can talk so much as if he's a scrambling quarterback as people want to utilize that and use and analyze that way. But he's a pocket passer first, and he is delivering strikes. And so if we leave anybody with a glimpse of being a step open, he's delivering the ball. And so I just think for what we have to look at, we have to look at our first game that we played against them and how we were able to close up lanes, get pressure on them, be physical with the receivers on the outside, and now that throws off the timing in their passing game. If we can get back to the way we played in game one and not in game two late in the second half, then we'll have a great chance in this particular game.
Yeah. You think we win on Sunday?
Absolutely. I think this is a game in which, and we haven't played a full game where passing, running, getting turnovers, getting off on third down, we haven't played that perfect game yet. And I hope that this is a game, but if we're 75% of that perfect game, I think we have a great chance of winning.
All right, Donovan. Well, hopefully we're talking to you a week from today and the Eagles
That's
in the Super Bowl. All right, brother. Well, we thank you.
Yeah, we'll
always
be making plans to meet up at happy hour somewhere on, what is it, in the French Quarter?
No, we're staying away from Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street?
No,
Bourbon
Street.
I have to check with my book club.
Book club.
All right,
what,
Donovan.
What time we're meeting at the book club.
All right, brother.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Donovan. You know, he brought up Jaden Daniels. It finally hit me what Jaden Daniels reminds me of right now. He reminds me of the evolved version of Michael Vick. That, like, of the Eagles version of Michael Vick, just the guy who is able to beat you both ways, has a cannon for an arm, throws a very pretty ball, but is so dangerous from a running perspective, though that isn't his first thing that he wants to do, but he can do it. I mean, he is playing as impressively right now as any quarterback in the NFL, and that includes Josh Allen
everybody.
And Lamar Jackson and everybody.
No, it's no doubt about it. I mean, it's undeniable. He's in a zone right now. He's pretty much been in a zone all damn year.
Yep.
When you think about some of the miraculous wins that he's been able to put together, fourth quarter comebacks, last minute drives, all of the scrutiny and the spotlight being on him, not necessarily wilting and under any of that spotlight. I mean, you think about how good of a runner he is, it's not even the first thing I think about with Jaden Daniels, because he's such an accurate thrower of the football. And he's so cool, calm, and collective under pressure. Like, they tried to blitz him all Saturday night, and he was killing them.
Yep.
He was killing them Saturday night. Like, I don't even know, did he have a memorable run Saturday night? I don't remember anything he did running the football.
No, it's mostly
he was just slicing and dicing, throwing.
It's the threat of it that almost freezes.
Because it's
everyone.
Always there, yes.
Yeah. It's like playing against a video game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a video game when the quarterback can do anything. You're almost frozen. You don't know what to do.
We need, and I'm assuming Quinyon's playing Sunday.
Rap Sheet said that this morning that it's not considered a big deal.
All right, man.
They keep saying that, but what does that mean?
Listen, we're going to need the booty juice. And in case you don't know what the booty juice is, it makes you feel better. It makes pain go away.
Is that what Jalen was on after the postgame?
Well, could have been. I'm just saying. No, that's something they give you prior to the game.
Oh, okay.
When you're in pain to get you through a game. I'm just saying. I don't know if they still hand that out. But I used to be in line.
To get the booty juice?
What? But I've discovered that, like, my fourth year, I'm like, man, okay.
It's amazing they could do that, and you can still play football, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
that
you're still able to get it to a level where
you know what it is? The structural damage isn't there, because then you wouldn't be able to play.
Right.
But if it's all about pain tolerance or what have you, it's a little numbing agent. right? And it gets you through the game. You normally feel it that Tuesday or what have you, but hell, he got 2 weeks to get ready for the Super Bowl. So we, all hands on deck Sunday. We need Quinyanamo Bay. I'm getting used to it.
Yep.
We need him out there Sunday because he's our best corner. That's why we need him out there Sunday. Did you see Terry McLaurin out there last Saturday night?
Well,
Denami Brown, number two.
Yeah, he's coming on for them.
Man,
Zacchaeus killed us last game.
Yeah, Zacchaeus, we owe him.
They keep saying, not a big deal. All I know is the guy couldn't move his arm.
Yeah,
and he couldn't get. And he within 5 minutes he was out. He wasn't questionable to return.
Yeah, he didn't come back in.
He was, yeah. Maybe not a big deal for his career, but it's a big deal if he can't play on Sunday. All right, 215.
Like Isaiah Rogers, but.
Yeah, not like that.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. D in Chester, you're on WIP.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, D?
Oh, man, listen, I love listening to you guys. I've been a long time caller, like I've said before. And I just wanted to, make a few points. Spike, it was something that I definitely wanted to say to you, and I'm going to get this out of the way now. I know you don't need me to be a detective for you, but I have a few friends, and I know some of the reasons why some of the people that I know personally always give you such a hard time about your opinions or your takes on Jalen. And that what it all comes down to, man, you're just guilty by association, brother. Most of the people I found out just flat out don't like you or your take is because of your father.
Well, my father's been defending the Eagles for 15 years.
No. They don't like you because of him.
Oh, okay. Well, I have way more tattoos than him. Very different. And I'm much taller, so.
I always say that's not a fair take. You know what I mean? The king is the king, and you are you. You're two separate people. And for what it's worth, I defend you a lot. I always say, listen, man, he's fair, man. He's fair. You know,
I appreciate that, D. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. I love you, brother. But I wanted to say to you, Spike. Thanks to you. You know what I mean. Now I'm going to need a blue chew and a three piece suit the next time I need to entertain my wife because she's seeing you. Said, how come you don't dress like that?
Spike, not Spike.
A lot of mix up today. I appreciate that.
So thanks to you, I got to go out and find me a nice suit, and I got married, so I didn't have to do all this wine and the dining all the time.
You got to up your game, man.
Yeah, I tell you, getting married means you got to do more wine and dining.
Apparently, I've been living like Jack, so you know what I mean. I got to get myself together.
I'm a one suitsman.
Yeah, yeah.
So am I.
Yeah, listen, there's nothing wrong with it. Stay strong.
But. To my points, though, basically, look, the only issue I really have with Jalen as far as, critiquing his play, man, that safety sack was so just – it was just – there's no call for it. I get people are saying this, saying that. If he can check out of a play, he should have been, wise enough to know maybe this isn't the best play for me to call in this situation. Let me just run it because – dropping back and then going into the end zone, that wasn't a good call. You know what I mean? And not only that, God, it was right there, wide open. So, all is fair. You ain't going to beat them down. Yeah, we won the game, but we got to do better.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and every round that it goes, you got to be better than the round before because in theory, you're playing a better team than you played the last time. And the Commanders are the best team we will have played in the playoffs so far.
Certainly from a streak hot standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Thank you for the call, D. I appreciate it. The Packers and the Rams are no pushovers for sure, but the way that the Commanders are playing now, we were unsure during the year about how real they were. This is a real football
game. Listen, down the stretch, and we were going into the playoffs, this is the team I wanted to avoid. It was Green Bay or Washington. Get me Green Bay.
Yes.
I don't want to see Tampa Bay or Washington, right? Like, so I actually thought they would have lost by now. They haven't. Thankfully, they did win Saturday night because we're hosting the NFC Championship game. But this team, has always been a threat to me in my mind. It will be the third time we played him. The quarterback, I've been describing it as magic dust on him. That almost implies that it's a fairy tale sort of run, that it's not real. Well, that's not what I'm implying.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah, when I say magic dust, I mean it's almost one of those, like, it's his year. Like, it's, he's having that type of year. So now we have to overcome that and defeat that, because he's gone on the road twice already as a rookie and as an underdog and beaten veteran teams, teams that were already in the playoffs last year, teams that had high expectations in their building. And he went, and here's the thing that he's done. He's outplayed the other quarterback. The other quarterback has made mistakes in both games, and he's not making mistakes
at all. He hasn't all year.
He doesn't. He has. I think he's taken one sack in two playoff games, no turnovers. That's what this kid has done in 2 weeks.
All while making plays.
Oh, yes.
By the way.
All while being the driving force as to why they're winning on offense. So, yes, they're coming in here Sunday thinking it's their time. Boy, we got our work cut out for us. We're going to celebrate yesterday's win today. But we'll dive into this as the week goes on.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not going to do the whole I'm nervous and scared all week. I'm just saying, this ain't an easy win, an easy game come Sunday.
215-592-9494. Coming up next,
I don't feel that way right now.
We will talk about the guy, the best defensive player on the Eagles, who had a great game yesterday.
Yes.
Talk about him next. We are at Chickies in South Philly. Remember, you can watch Sunday's game at Chickies. If there's another game in 2 weeks, you can watch that game at Chickies. It is the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. Find your local Chickies and Pete's at chickiesandpete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Oh, yeah. It's a Victory Monday. WIP Afternoon Show at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. The Brandon Graham Show is coming up at 6 with me, Elliot, and BG. And then the Players Lounge with Ike, Hugh Douglas, and Elliot coming up at 7 right here at Chickies and Pete's. The Twitter question, yet another one, is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming. If you're thinking about getting engaged, shop the home team at Mark's, your engagement destination, online at marks-jewelers.com. All right, one more Twitter question here, Ike. Let's see where we are. Is Saquon's season better than 04 Terrell Owens? What do you think the response is from the listeners?
Oh, well, without question, yes.
Okay.
And I'd say 83%.
95.4%. And Terrell Owens is pretty beloved in this town, and that season is very highly thought of.
Yeah. A, it's 20 years ago.
Yep.
B.
I can't believe it's 20 years.
Yeah, 20. That's how old I am.
Yep.
But B, this, it feels different. It feels different. The circumstances feel different. This feels like it has, since we know what the end results were with T.O., really just 20 games of playing here in total. I think that also
– And didn't win the Super Bowl.
But his Super Bowl performance is legendary.
Yep.
9 catches, 122 yards, best player on the field, no doubt about it. We're in that Super Bowl. But Saquon feels like, A, it's more sustainable, not just from a production standpoint, and I don't even know if that's sustainable, but – from a longevity of him being here and us getting to enjoy him as an Eagle, it feels like it's going to be more than just 20 games, and it certainly isn't going to end the way that ended.
There will not be sit-ups in the drive.
Yes, it won't be sit-ups. It won't be a holdout. It won't
imagine
be
that heel turn
it won't be
from Saquon.
Exactly. It won't be asking for a new contract at the end of the season or any of that stuff. So, you know, this feels differently, man. It does. And not to belabor the whole breaking Eric Dickerson's record thing, but I got to go back to it.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah, I got to go back to it because, quite frankly, Spike, I'm not completely over it.
He did hurt his hand yesterday.
He did. But how many times has he touched the ball in the two playoff games? I believe over 60 times. Because I believe he had over 30 touches last week versus Green Bay, and he had 30 touches yesterday.
Yep.
60 touches. And he had got a little bump on his hand.
Well, maybe he wouldn't have been as good as in those 60 touches if he didn't have the week off in week 8.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying. There was so much concern about some fluke injury and all of that, that he's touched the ball 60-plus times since then and still hasn't been injured. And he's still reeling off explosive runs against number one teams who are fighting for their lives to win. And he's gotten over 100 yards in both games, could have had 170 last week if he wanted it. You can't tell me that he wouldn't have broken that record with ease and still been healthy. I don't care what anybody says. Even Chris Collinsworth, and I didn't get to hear the TV copy until the day when I rewatched the game. Chris Collinsworth said to him, he said, well, he said this about Saquon. Saquon said this to him. Well, I'm getting a little too much credit for that whole unselfishness. I'm paraphrasing. The whole unselfishness thing. I wanted to break that record.
Yeah, I'm a little selfish.
And I was talked out of it.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
Yeah, I was talked out of it. That's the thing that it and that's what brought it back to me. Like, man, we should have that damn rushing record.
And you know what else? You know else made me think of it too? Is Eric Dickerson was trying to out-hype B-Doc on the the pre-show thing.
He was. I didn't see that.
He was the Rams representative.
Okay.
As like the hype guy.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And it should,
I didn't see it.
He couldn't motivate me to make a sandwich. Are you kidding me? Like, it was brutal.
You can't out-hype B-Doc.
No.
What are you doing?
No, and Battles Returns last week made me want to make Eric Dickerson cry even more.
So I'm not looking at it in a negative way. I'm just more or less looking at it like, damn it, man. We could
got to win the Super Bowl now. Maybe. All right. So,
okay, go ahead.
And I know comparison is the thief of joy. However, Jalen Carter, another game-wrecking mission yesterday. I mean,
second best player on the field other than Saquon.
So to go from having Fletcher Cox to pivot to having a guy who is this good in that spot, is he playing right now as good as you saw Fletcher Cox play?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing with Fletcher is that was longevity.
Right.
So
he did it over
a decade plus.
Yep.
So, yeah, we saw this from Fletcher. Fletcher, people don't realize Fletcher, next to Aaron Donald, was the defensive tackle of the decade.
Right.
When they did the all-decade team, it was Fletcher and Aaron Donald on that all-decade team. So that's how good Fletcher Cox was in his heyday. Oh, this kid here is just scratching the surface. He could be better.
Yeah, because he's this early in his career.
Yeah, just his second year, and he has the size and quickness. Now, Fletcher was more quickness than this type of size and brute strength. This kid has it all. Like, he has the brute strength. He could fight you in the running game, but also he has the quickness to get after the passer.
When he got Stafford and picked Stafford up.
Oh, dude.
And they're blowing the whistle. I could see it happening. I could see him throwing him to the ground.
No, no, no.
Because he would have gotten he might have gotten thrown out.
Yes.
Yeah, and not just a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
The whistle's blowing.
Yeah.
You're holding a 36-year-old quarterback in your arms.
Yeah.
Bear hugging.
But it's such a good intimidation tactic.
Oh, wow. It is. He's treating him like a little boy.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, if you remember, he did that to Jaden Daniels.
To Jaden Daniels,
in the SEC championship game.
I do remember that, yes.
215-592-9494.
That's
Kenny.
Big baby. Well, he can't be Big Baby Davis because that's Jordan Davis. He's the baby rhino.
Yes.
Yes, as one caller eloquently put it.
Well, he called him something else. But
Black rhino?
Yes, thanks, Mike.
I think that's a kind of rhino.
It's like a white rhino. Yes, yes,
yep.
Jack, white rhino?
What?
What?
Nah, down 20.
215-592-9494. Kenny from the Dirty 30 on WIP. What's up, Kenny?
Woo! Man, I am so excited. You know, to have this NFC Championship game here, I've been praying for this. And whether everybody realizes this or not, this will be the seventh home game in a row. I mean, seventh out of eight.
Yep.
We've not been on the road, except for Washington, in 2 months. And that's got to mean something, like, as a player, to just keep playing at home. And that has to count for at least 3 points, if not more, just for that. And people are talking about the Rams being the hot team coming in, and we cooled them off. Granted, you know, it wasn't an overwhelming victory, but a couple mistakes. Mekhi Becton being 30 yards downfield on a screen pass.
AJ,
you know, maybe catching balls he normally
AJ got to catch that deep. Yeah, listen, he kind of short-armed the one over the middle. Yeah, we all saw that one. That deep one, that deep one he has to catch. You got to catch that deep one.
You got to catch that. And then that tush push, you know, I was in the snow in the upper deck, so I couldn't see Lane jump. But it looked to me on TV like maybe he sneezed or something. But, I mean, I don't know how the hell a ref saw that and all that snow.
You know? I agree. Yeah, I mean, but on the replay, he definitely jumped.
Anyway,
yeah, he did. I was hoping watching it so I could be mad that I wouldn't see it. Jumped. But he definitely jumped, yep.
Yeah, it's like we're a team that's so good that we can make big mistakes and still win. Is that a thing, Ike? I mean, it seems to me that our
it's not how you want to live. I tell you, Kenny, it's because eventually that comes up and bites you. It does.
Has it bitten the Chiefs yet?
No, I'm not. But,
the Chiefs.
How about we don't compare ourselves?
Yeah, I'm not
to the
thinking
Chiefs.
About the Chiefs. I'm worried about us. Yes.
Yeah. No. It's just in the end, the four teams left.
Yep.
We're one of them.
Yep.
And that's great.
And we're not apologizing for it. Nobody needs to apologize for that.
I don't know how everybody else is going to be this week, but I don't know how I'm going to work. I don't know how I'm going to concentrate. I love when this happens. When we get down to this, it's, you know, work. You see people walking around the neighborhood. Everybody's wearing Eagle stuff.
Yep.
You know, I can't go anywhere without getting stopped. And, you know, everybody wants to know what I think. And
I'll take things that never happened for 500,
yeah.
Alex.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Hey,
short Kenny. He's a man in the community.
Visit humblebrag.com.
Yeah, seriously. You and Joe Banner.
An autographed photo from Kenny from the Dirty 30.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, they attacked.
Well,
yeah,
guys,
Kenny.
No, I'm kidding, Kenny. That definitely happened.
Damn, Ike, I think I need a hug now.
Yeah, I'm like, man, they jumped on you quick.
Oh, on Victory Monday.
Wow. Yeah. You keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Jeez, man.
Hi, Kenny.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
All right, there you go.
Poor Kenny.
I jumped on that quick.
Yeah. Come to Chickies Friday and see Kenny from the Dirty 30.
Exactly right.
215-592-9494. We'll get to your calls right after Jack tells you about National Appliance Warehouse.
Listen, you got to make sure with the big game that's going to be upcoming with the Eagles in it. Come on. You got to make sure that your kitchen appliances are ready to go, and that's where National Appliance Warehouse comes in. And National Appliance Warehouse, you heard me talk about it a lot. You got to go experience it for yourself, because truly their atmosphere, it's second to none. You get down there, you feel like you're a part of their family, knowledgeable team, looking to take care of you, and you'll have a good time as well. But what also sets National Appliance Warehouse apart is fantastic savings events that are always going on. Backed by popular demand is the Friends and Family Savings Event, so you're saving more there. You're saving a lot because you're in tax-free Delaware, but you're also saving because of Price Assure. Price Assure is a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store if it finds a lower price elsewhere. So great team, great prices, and great products from sub-zero to budget. You will find the perfect appliance for you at National Appliance Warehouse. So go to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
All right. WIP Afternoon Show at Chickies in South Philly, 215-592-9494. Elizabeth in Essington, you're on WIP.
Hi. First of all, I want to say how possessive I feel of Saquon Barkley, because I was living full-time in the State College area and got to hear him play for Penn State. So it's nice to have him here on the Eagles team instead of having to watch him on the other team.
Yeah, well, I think he's very happy as well. Saquon looks like a player that has been on a bad team for 6 years and finally getting the opportunity to do this. Just one of the greatest seasons in Philadelphia sports history.
Oh, my gosh, that's for sure. So I have a question about Jalen. And this question is in reference to some of the plays I saw him doing before he had that knee injury and then after. So it may or may not be impacted with the sacks that he had. But when he would keep the ball because he couldn't find an open receiver or whatever reason, and he decided to run and slide for his first down, or as close to it as he could, it seemed to me that he was a little bit more cautious than he was the last time that he played. And I was wondering if that was maybe you know, him thinking, oh, gosh, I had, you know, I got concussed a few weeks ago. I don't want anything like that happening again. So instead of running a couple more yards, let me just go ahead and slide right here.
You know what? I thought the same thing.
He did it a couple times.
Yeah, that he slid earlier than he normally would have.
I think, smart, too. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, Elizabeth, I think it's probably two-pronged. It's either one of two things or a combination of both. One, it's the concussion and not wanting to have to go through that again. Because in his first press conference afterwards, and I don't, you know, you can only assign so much meaning to how somebody says something, but he looked like he was affected by it. When they asked him about it, it didn't look like it was a fun process for him. And I think the second thing,
yeah.
I think the second thing is just knowing that we're, and hopefully they've drilled this into his head, is that he is important and they can't lose him.
Right.
And that,
absolutely.
And that, like, regardless if it's a concussion or a rib injury or a shoulder separation, whatever could happen with him not going down, and sliding or getting out of bounds, those are important, and they've never been more important than they are right now. So I think, you know, maybe if we're in the Super Bowl and there's a couple more yards to get that he needs to get, maybe he'll go and get them. Mm-hmm. But right now, there's no Super Bowl if he isn't healthy enough to get there. And I'm, you know, I would love those couple extra yards that he's passing up, but I like it better that he's not getting leveled, you know?
Yep.
Right. Exactly. A W is a W, right?
Yep.
Yeah, most of us.
And that's what I was thinking also, that, you know, he's going to hold back a little bit now, well, yesterday, because he still has this whole week that he can practice and still work on getting better and, you know, give it, you know, almost 100% maybe this weekend, and then hopefully, you know, and then on to the Super Bowl and give it 100% there.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is that, you know, now with another regular season game, and there's no team that doesn't have players that are banged up at this point.
Right.
You cannot rely on this guy was hurt or that guy was hurt. You know, the Detroit Lions had an insane number of injuries on their defense, but, like, there's no way that those players are sitting at home going, well, you know what? We had too many injuries, and we gave it a try. You know, the Washington has a key injury or two. Mm-hmm. So everyone is there. I'm sure everyone is sore and beat up and those sorts of things. So now it's just about getting through two more football games.
Yeah.
Or to say that better, it's about getting through one more football game and then getting through another football game.
Right. And it's all about the teamwork. I mean, you know, and our guys, oh, my gosh, how they gel. It's so awesome to watch how well they work together. And that last touchdown run where Saquon was hitting his helmet, and then they panned over to Jalen, and Jalen had the biggest smile on his face. Like, yeah, that's my boy.
Yep. Save me again.
So.
Yeah. All right, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy listening to y'all, and I keep learning more and more every time.
All right. Wow.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Especially from me.
Learning.
How do you think Oren Burks played yesterday?
Oh, dude, I thought he played a pretty damn good game yesterday. I really did. A little surprised, a little disappointed. Didn't see Neff out there at all. Fangio did throw us a curveball there.
He
spoke him up as if he was going to play at least.
Yep.
But maybe that was the initial idea, but Oren was playing so well. I think he had a couple plays early in the game that he probably could have did a little better on. But, hell, I think by the time he got to that second and third quarter, he was out there making plays, Oren Burks.
He was.
I thought he had a good game yesterday.
And
I really do.
And they were definitely targeting him. I mean, they went to the tight end a bunch. And the other thing is like, sort of when you're replacing a guy like N'Kobe Dean, you're not going to make plays like N'Kobe Dean did. Though he did make a couple of really good plays.
Yeah.
What I really don't want to see is, oh, burn Oren Burks or
yeah, you can't be a liability out there.
Right. You don't want to hear his name a lot in a negative way, and I didn't hear his name in a negative way.
No, he had a couple tackles for loss, I believe, or at least one. Didn't he tip a pass on third down?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, the tip he did.
Yeah, I thought he played well yesterday.
And Bond's first game with the green dot.
Listen, he was all over the field yesterday, too.
Dude, Zach Bond
was all over the field.
Unreal yesterday.
Yeah, he was all over the field yesterday. Yeah, I mean, the DBs, it's always going to be tough for the DBs to cover because you're playing off coverage, and you almost have to take an extra half step before you break on a pass versus breaking too early, and then now the guy hits you with a double move when he's past you. So I thought our front seven did a good job as best they could as far as, you know, I knew Williams is a good back, but you also knew he would put the ball on the ground. I think he's had like six fumbles this year. He's lost four of them.
Well, he fumbled. He put the ball on the ground three times yesterday, right? He got one back, and it took them because they were marching, and then he fumbled and brought him back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good. He just can he puts the ball on the ground.
Speaking of putting the ball on the ground, love him as a player. Cooper DeJean back there makes me nervous as a punt returner.
First
of all, he bobbled one yesterday, but there were a couple of moments where. I don't know. I don't really in that spot doing that job. I don't really see it from him. Really,
well, he's not going to be the regular guy. He's there because of necessity right now.
We got big game Covey coming back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not even healthy. You want a Nia Smith back there? You want a rookie back there?
Can Gainwell do?
Well, Cooper DeJean is a rookie. He's just not a Nia Smith. Yeah. I had to think about that. Yeah. I said it. I didn't realize it until I said it.
What he said, I didn't even think of it. Because
because you don't think of Cooper DeJean as a rookie.
Him or Quinion.
Yeah.
Neither of them.
But I damn sure don't want a Nia Smith back there.
I guess you can't have Gainwell do it. He's there on kickoffs. You know, I guess fielding a punt's different than fielding a kickoff. And I don't know how many reps he's got into it. And Gainwell touched the ball twice yesterday and was productive in both. I know I talk about Gainwell too much, but I don't know.
You really do.
Way too much.
I don't have a ton of. Yeah, I don't love DeJean in that spot, honestly.
Well, I won't say I love him back there, but I don't know who I would feel more comfortable with.
Yeah, they got fortunate twice yesterday with some balls in the ground. Obviously, the Jalen one, and Cooper muffed one back there.
Yeah.
And they both bounced right back to them on a slick surface. That was a good break for them.
Listen, ball security in that type of weather was going to be difficult. Judging the ball in the air, when to catch it, when not to catch it. It's always tricky, man. It's tricky.
Do you know Belichick used to make his players wear sleeves in games like that? When it snowing, cold, like that. That was one of his things, is that
he wanted them to wear sleeves?
Wanted them to wear sleeves because it improves ball security. Not only, and the sleeves can also, like, your skin's going to get slippery, whereas the sleeves, I guess, create some friction so you can hold the ball easier. I don't know. Belichick, on one end, he cheated a little bit all the time. That gave him an edge. But it seemed like he was obsessed with little tiny edges.
Yes.
And football players.
Including.
Yes.
Cameras.
Video, and deflating balls and all that stuff.
Well, that was Brady.
Yeah, but if
that wasn't Belichick.
Well, you don't think he knew about it?
No, he said he didn't know about it.
Well,
then he threw Brady under the bus.
Oh, right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. An hour left to go for you to get in the WIP afternoon show. Coming up next.
I don't touch balls.
Jack, hey-o.
I'm just saying, I think Belichick said that.
Did he?
Yeah, it's like he said something to that effect, like basically the quarterback worries about the ball. I don't touch the ball.
I thought he said the binoculars were me. Let's get this cleared up. I did the binoculars. I did not deflate the
balls. Nothing to do with deflating the balls.
Speaking of balls, Jack's giving out his game balls next.
Oh, game balls.
Yeah, gather round.
The top 5 of 5. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show coming up at 6. Players Lounge at 7. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.